o'clock hour. Fuck Wilde and Tausch. I thought Jesse's best segment while I was unavoidably detained was the one where Evan took over the entire segment. But Jesse, thanks for stepping into the breach. I appreciate you. Happy to report that our cross-country runner is home, safe and sound, after her knee surgery with Doc McKenzie this morning. So thanks for covering for me. That was obviously an injury that was an important one to... I love it. Look at the change of angle.
What is that?
Okay. I don't...
I'm confused.
I'm not sure... Did you also move to the passenger seat?
No. I moved the thing up and I jammed it in the little corner from the console over, and I think it works.
Yeah, you look great.
It's a little trippy, but I like it.
A little less foliage, a little more Zimbrick Chevy.
Yeah,
I'd rather see
foliage, but it's what you guys wanted. So
it's a very spacious vehicle. You got a lot of space, a lot of legroom.
I told Jesse I could legit, and I have a lot of driving to do this weekend, but I could legit, and I could do the show from here and probably be as comfortable as anywhere that we do the shows. That's how beautiful this Tahoe is. Like, legit.
Well, you've only got 1 hour and 45 minutes left to go.
Barely, yeah.
He hasn't said it, but we all know he's leaving the show early today, right?
Yeah. Got tea time. We're in the Wilde house. We're very happy that Maddie's injury has been taken care of by Doc McKenzie. Now we talk... And I'm sure you did to start the show when I was available about the Jordan Love injury. And as Adam Schefter said on Unsportsmanlike this morning, he expects him to play. The debate.
What did Doc McKenzie say to you? Because you were in there in the room. He's surgically repairing your daughter's knee. Mm-hmm. What did he say? Because I'm sure you talked to him about it.
I did. His injury was not the one I discussed, and I don't want to violate any HIPAA laws or get him in trouble for violating any HIPAA laws. So I think they're hopeful about a number of guys that are dealing with injuries right now, and none of them need surgery. So that's a positive.
In fairness,
very interesting.
In fairness, wouldn't he already be violating HIPAA laws if he was telling you about it rather than you telling everyone else about it?
Right. Right, so I don't want to further his violation by sharing information. But it was fun because he was using a variety of Packers related comparisons for Maddie through her recovery, talking about the Chad Clifton schedule for practicing and Charles Woodson when he had the shoulder injury. So it's great to have Doc. He's as you well know, fantastic. So are you? I saw you tweeted, which again is always an indicator to me that your curiosity has been piqued. Yep. And I heard you talking to Evan about the idea of how confident everyone is in Malik Willis that if Jordan Love is somewhere short of 100%, it will be a question of how far from 100% does he need to be for it to be okay to go with Malik Willis in this game instead. And that percentage is much higher than I would think. Like, if he's 80%, you still might feel like you're okay with Malik Willis instead of him and let him heal. But as I have mentioned on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning when I joined them on my way to Purveya, the idea that they have the bye week after this and that he could basically go 3 weeks of recovering and doing a little bit of practicing to be 100% going into the Bears game on November 17th, Matt LaFleur was, you know, he played a bunch of word games. Somebody asked him about the NFL Network report that Love had avoided a serious injury, and he was, I don't know where they got that information from. I hope it didn't come from inside the building, because I have no idea, quote, about the severity of his injury.
You think he's the leaker? You think LaFleur's the leaker?
I know he's got a good relationship with Tom Pelissero.
Wow. That's interesting.
Do I think it was? Do I think it's Jordan's agents? I do. Okay. So I don't think it came from the building. But the bottom line is that Matt LaFleur said very clearly, if he's good to go, he's playing.
Sure.
How important in the grand scheme of things do you see this game as being, based on the fact that they'll play them again, the fact that, you know, I always bring up your 2010 team that went to Atlanta, got beat, and it was the most confident losing locker room I've ever been in. Like, hey, we got to play these guys again. We're going to beat them. Right. And lo and behold, that's exactly what you did in the postseason in the NFC divisional round. So is this game important enough that if it's on the fence, you would want Jordan to play?
Yes, it is, because I think if you lose this game, then you have two division losses, which is the next tiebreaker after the one and, you know, after the head-to-head. You won't be able to win the head-to-head if you lose to the Lions. The best you can do is push. And I do believe that this thing is going to come down to Green Bay and Detroit for the one seed. I think they've positioned themselves, and obviously Green Bay has a very difficult schedule. Detroit has some tough games ahead of it yet as well. So it's not like it's a crowner, but if this was the Titans that Green Bay was playing on Sunday, I think Jordan needs to be closer to 100%, and I think you lean much more cautiously. The fact that this is a huge game, and the fact that there is a bye, and as you put it, 20-some-odd days to recover, it makes this decision that much more tricky. So I do think Jordan's going to push because he's a competitor. He wants to get out there. And if he is 80% and can protect himself, he goes in place. If he's at 50% and is very limited mobility-wise, that's where I think you have to step in and say, you know what, Jordan, I love the fact you're competing your tail. Be ready to go if something happens. But Malik Willis has proven that he can help us win a football game at 100%, and then you're going to finish this thing with the last 8 weeks being full tilt, ready to go. But if he feels like he is, you know, if the tricky part to me is going to be if he's at like 65 to 80 and it's, man, I feel good, but I can't do everything I want. That's when it's a tough call for LaFleur. And I think the default thing is going to be let Jordan get out and play. And I think the beauty of these leaks and the whoever's putting it out there, it really messes Detroit. Normally you're going to play the game and it's, well, you know, we're going to rep this and you have to do this. The fact that now it's going to be as uncertain as it is, play the subterfuge game all week, because I want Detroit spending those valuable practice minutes studying for both, because both guys play a totally different game. And especially if Jordan's going to be limited by a groin, you're talking about vastly different approaches offensively. Make Detroit study and do both. So this needs to be a subterfuge week. I don't want any leakage. I want this thing. I don't want to know who's going to be quarterbacking until Sunday, what, an hour and a half prior to the game. And even then I don't need to know, because you're going to have Jordan activated and ready to go. Subterfuge away, make it difficult for Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions.
All right, we're going to play trivia next. Last thing, though. So you told us yesterday about your own groin injury and the fact that the Minnesota Vikings didn't have a cart for you and you had to walk the length of the field and take all those steps at the Metrodome. Is there any concern, right? You've gotten good, optimistic news about this injury. Is there any concern that by playing, he pulls a Tausch and suffers a more catastrophic groin injury? And is that something? I've never had this injury. You have. The risk is obviously of tearing it off the bone like you did. How much of a concern is that, and how should that factor into the decision making?
It should. But if you can move around enough, I came back and it was probably, I don't know, 80, 85%. It had scarred, because it's very similar to an MCL. You have to let that thing scar back in, and then there's some bumps in the road, and you just want it to feel like you can move around enough and you're not going to really damage something. So I think if Jordan feels like he can move and do the things that he needs to within the pocket, I don't think he's going to be able to do all the fun stuff, the bendy and the some of the throws that he makes. That's going to probably be more limited. But obviously that has to factor in, because the last thing you want to do is for Jordan to go out and play a quarter and be uncomfortable and not be able to do what he wants to do. And then you re-injure it worse, and now you're back to square negative two. Because right now it sounds like he got lucky. He didn't even – it didn't go to the point where it's in the negatives. He's now square zero. You hope to get that week. You hope to let some scar lay down, and then you hope that you can get out and do your job. You don't want to have something happen early in that game, and then you're now putting the Bears game and some of the other Dolphins, some of those games in November in jeopardy. That's the last thing you want to do, because I think the confidence in Malik Willis changes the equation here markedly. And that's the part of this that I think it's awesome that you have that available to you, because in the past, oh, Brent, your thumb's broke. Well, put a cast on and see the best we can do. And there was no blinking. Now, you know what? If it's not to the point where we feel like you can function at a really high rate, Malik has proven that he can go win games. That's a great little ace to have up your sleeve.
All right, we're going to play some trivia. I am enjoying some of the YouTube comments, including from Pac3344, saying it looks like you drove into a river. And you're going down for the last time.
Where's the river?
Back behind you, that parking lot area looks a little bit like maybe a still body of water. So just to reassure
still
everyone,
waters run deep.
Tausch is in a parking lot. Deep. Yeah, like with Romeo Doubs. All right, it's Badgers Trivia Tuesday. So before Tausch tells us about Coors Light, we need to get a caller. Caller 10 for Jordan Love, who at least Adam Schefter believes will play this week. Caller 10, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Caller 10 to play trivia. Tausch, I'm guessing one or two Coors Lights will be consumed on the course today as well.
You know, it's 82 degrees. It's going to be fabulous. Coors Light brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered. And it is cold packaged, so it's made to chill in those mountains on Coors Light's cold-activated bottles and cans. They turn blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection. That's why it is Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company. Golden, Colorado.
Trivia's next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
And what a treat this is. Now, it's especially a treat, not just for us, because we like Tyler and the Bus family and Brad Davison and the whole crew. But on top of that, if you're playing trivia this week, you got one less contestant to deal with because Tyler's ineligible. So, we may keep our perfect week going. But either way, it won't affect other contestants in Friday's drawing.
What if everyone but Tyler finishes perfect? Do we call it a perfect week with an asterisk?
Great question.
No, it's not a great question. It's not. If it's not perfect, it's not perfect.
Yeah, but it doesn't count anyway. It's like an exhibition game.
Yeah, it's a preseason. It's a friendly.
No, but it does count.
Playing a Wilde and Tausch friendly today.
Well, who makes you the arbiter? So if he gets one out of three,
if he gets one out of three, and everybody else goes 3 for 3, you're gonna say it's a perfect week? No, you won't.
Yeah,
you won't. No, you won't.
Well, let's solve this problem by having a perfect day, Tyler. Tyler, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I still think it's a bad rule. We got to get the rules updated there on the
totally
trivia.
Agree.
But I'll take one for the team here.
I don't understand why Jesse, with all of his newfound handsomeness and svelteness and the big bucks we pay him at ESPN Madison, can't foot the bill to ship out an ESPN Wisconsin prize pack.
I don't make the rules.
Or he could just rig the drawing like he normally does. He could just rig the drawing like normal, and then he doesn't win anything.
I just review the rules. I don't make them over at ESPNWisconsinContest.com, where you can find the official rules to play.
But you could rewrite them. You could rewrite them if you want.
We got Buzz family all over the Madison area. We can even pick up. I mean, this is not
there. We go.
See, now there's another. That's another
very
layer
easy.
Here.
Proxy pickuppers are not allowed according to the official contest rules at ESPN.
Is that true? Is that written in there? Do you have any idea if it actually says that in there?
I think it actually is a thing.
No, you don't.
I think
it
is.
You don't know. You don't know.
Although Tier 1 Tyler had me deliver one of his prizes he won to him the other day from Jim, Matt, and Molly. So that was kind of irritating. So maybe
you violated your own rule that you don't know if it exists.
Or have I opened up an opportunity for others based on that?
Exactly.
You're all welcome. We might have to investigate this.
From the rules arbiter, I have no idea if this is a rule. All right, Tyler, let's play, and we'll deal with the ramifications later. Question number one in Badgers Trivia Tuesday is this. Wisconsin football's last win against a top three team in the Associated Press poll remains a win over which of these Big Ten opponents? Was it Iowa, Ohio State, or Oregon if you are from the future and can confirm a victory on November 16th?
The Buckeyes, Ohio State.
One for one, one step closer to having one of your family members pick up the prize pack on Friday. Question two, Tyler, is this. Wisconsin volleyball is ranked number 7 in the country in this week's AVCA Top 25 Coaches Poll. The Badgers host Nebraska on Friday night at the UW Fieldhouse. What is Nebraska's ranking this week in said poll? Are the Huskers number 2, number 6, or number 10?
Let's go with number 2.
Let's go with number 2. Jesse, who's number 1 right now?
Pittsburgh. They've been number 1 most of the season. They are very good. Pitt Panthers.
Tausch's old teammate, Ravel Martin's daughter, plays for Florida. Where are they ranked?
I don't remember seeing Florida in the rankings. I can pull up the full rankings and let you know.
Can't wait for the postgame show on Friday that will be hosted by you.
Well,
and you
it's
don't
not
have show
the Florida Gators postgame show. Sorry, they're irrelevant in the grand scheme of it.
Question 3, Tyler, is this. In 2010, number 13 Wisconsin defeated number 15 Iowa 31-30 in a game featuring the great call and great execution of a Brad Nortman fake punt. Which Wisconsin player completed the comeback drive with about 1 minute remaining, scoring the Badgers' go-ahead rushing touchdown? Was that player Monte Ball, David Gilreath, or Scott Tolzien?
Oh, let's just throw it out there. Scott Tolzien.
Misspelled on the trivia and mischosen on the answer.
Is it IEN?
It is IEN. Yes, Jesse. It was Monte Ball, who was at the game on Saturday night. I saw him shown on the NBC broadcast, but if they were talking about him, I couldn't hear him because I was listening to Tausch and LePe. All right, Tyler, I'm going to let your lawyers handle the potential winning of the prize pack on Friday. We will get an answer on whether a proxy pickup makes you a eligible contestant for the drawing. You did get 2 out of 3 right, which means you have 3 of the possible 4 entries into that drawing. Say hello to your lovely sister and your brother-in-law for us, and we'll talk to you again soon, pal.
All right. Thanks, guys. Love you guys.
That is Will D. and Tausch Trivia.
I love you guys.
Love you, too. So are they going to call him Nemo, or what are they calling him?
Calling who Nemo?
Well, did you not remember last time? I couldn't get it out of my head that he was the dad.
He thought he was grandpa.
I really struggled. That didn't go over well.
Does ring any bells?
I remember it now. I tried to forget it, but I failed. All right. That's trivia. We will continue the program coming up. Want to remind you, I don't know if you've heard the promos for it, but I have been hearing them frequently, and that is for Behind the Bucks on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Behind the Bucks, this edition dives deep into Bucks in Six, a culture unknowingly created by former Bucks star Brandon Jennings. They'll take a look inside the Brandon Jennings story, the origin of Bucks in Six, how it became the rallying cry that it did, and what it truly means to Jennings and Bucks fans alike. Find Behind the Bucks on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcasts. Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
All right, we'll get to Malik Willis in a second. I also want to talk about where the Packers are at in their secondary, because while the focus is on Jordan Love's groin, they do have some other injuries that could impact their ability to stop an explosive Detroit Lions offense. But I have a question for you, old T, before we move forward. Is there anything that you like to eat that you like so much that you will lick the bowl to get the last remnants of whatever you were having?
Lick the bottom of the bowl?
So I've got, Paula brought me a smoothie bowl, and I like it so much that I'm licking the bowl because I don't want it to be over. Now, Jesse, I know you're skinny Jesse now, so you're choosing your, and by the way, very healthy choice. It's got berries and coconut and chia seeds.
Acai? Does it have acai?
Yeah, acai
that's
base.
Because that's supposed to be a super healthy, like, superfood.
Yeah. Love them. I could eat them all day, every day. Unfortunately, they're like $10 at the place that I'm not going to advertise for. But if maybe we could get them on board as a partner, I would be able to get a free one every day. They could pay me in bowls.
Go do it. That's a great idea. I mean, I think I love a certain ice cream. I would lick the bowl. If that was the case.
Spogen?
Definitely not Spogen. I don't know if there's anything else. It's much easier to lick a plate than to lick a bowl.
Mm-hmm. So the syrup from pancakes or waffles, I do that all the time. Yeah.
Too sticky.
All the time.
Too sticky.
Well, I'm glad I asked. I appreciate you answering, because usually when I bring something up out of the blue, you basically want to get out of your car, but usually you're not in your car like you are today.
Oh, Pouty McGee.
All right, I want to get to a little bit of discussion about Malik Willis himself. I also want to talk about where the Packers are.
What about, like, dips? What about, like, a French onion dip?
It's like putting your whole face in the bowl.
You don't use your face, but what about, like, the finger ladle where you lap it and then put it on the chip because you can't really get it with a chip? But there's some left in the bottom of the bowl, and then you ladle it, and then
I assume you have your individual cup of the dip when you're doing this, and it's not a big bowl.
Well, if it's at the end, who cares? If it's at the end, who cares? The middle part, you don't have to worry about it because there's a nice level playing field. You do the little scoop and drag, and then eat it. If it gets to be the bottom and it's crusted into the corner, you can't really break the chip, but you don't want to have chip residue in there. So you do the finger and then you ladle it on. And then obviously you're done with that bucket. Correct?
You would think so, yes. You and I must really like to eat when you have your own technique that you call the scrape. What was that again? Scoop and scrape? scoop and ladle. You got all kinds of techniques.
Well, if you're doing it, and you don't do this at parties because they put it out, and you know, you just use a little spoonful. I've never been a big fan of dips that way. Dips are meant to be contained. You're not meant to have dips kind of flopping around. Mm-hmm. Dips are meant to be, whether it's caramel apples or whatever it is, it's meant to be secured into some type of a cup or bowl. You're not meant to throw it on a platter. You don't see mm-hmm. dips with charcuterie. You don't just put out French onion dip on a charcuterie board. It's got to be in a cup or a bowl.
Is there any food you like to talk about more than a charcuterie board?
I'm not even a big fan of charcuterie. I like
you just like saying the word.
Yeah, I think it's become a bougie way of putting out the. I used to love just cut up some summer sausage, grab some cheese, and cut it up and put it on an old board. That was how I liked it. And you're getting these different vegetables, and you're getting all this
cheeses,
Italian sausage.
Oh no,
we're missing an all-timer from him. Yeah, this is unfortunate.
I didn't know Optimus Prime liked charcuterie trays.
You got snossage in there, and then we lost you. But Italian snossage was a good place to land.
Which is for your dog that you refused to get. So,
just wait, y'all lost me on that.
We lost you at snossage.
Yeah, snossage.
Oh. Well, it's just you put those yellow pepper, you put all this stuff down, and then it's Italian, like Genoa salami. Oh, and all you need is venison sausage with some just cheese cut up into little squares. You don't need the little cubes. They should be, and then you should be able to eat those with rich crackers. That's what should happen, but the world has gotten more bougie and complicated, and it's all about charcuterie boards, unfortunately.
With dog treats like snossages also mixed into your other items that you're eating.
This is how we know Tausch is a foodie.
Yeah, because he uses terms like snossages. All right, if you do put snossages on your charcuterie board and then someone eats it, they may sue you, and they will call Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Go to the website. Find out more about the firm, all of its rich history, all the great lawyers that are there, everything that David and his team do within our communities. That's Gruber-Law.com. And again, hope you never have to make the call, but if you do, you know the number to call. 414-276-6666. Gruber Law Offices. One call. That's all. We'll talk about where the Packers' secondary is and why that could be a problem next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Ready to roll!
Are focused on Jordan Love's availability for Sunday's matchup with the Detroit Lions, the 6-2 Packers, the 6-1 Lions. Tausch, I understand that we agree that there are some limitations that Jared Goff has. Doesn't change the fact he's played some pretty darn good football for them in the last month and a half. And they are an offense that has been explosive. I was looking this up. Now, the Packers have played one more game than they have, but the Packers have 30 explosive plays of 20 yards or more, and they have 7 plays of 40 or more yards. The Lions, with one less game, have 24 explosive plays of 20 yards or more and 6 40-plus yard plays. So these are two explosive offenses. I don't love the Packers' secondary without Jaire Alexander and without Evan Williams / Micah Hyde 2.0. And I thought what we saw when Evan Williams departed, they had 4 3 and outs to start the game in Jacksonville. And then Evan Williams got hurt, and then they had to shuffle the deck, and they weren't so star-spangled awesome anymore. Are we? I'm not saying that we shouldn't be focused on the quarterback. We know it's the most important position, but should we be spending a little more time worrying about what their secondary might look like on Sunday for this matchup?
All right. That's not working.
Let's hear what let's pretend that I asked Matt LaFleur that question.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
And see if he sounds like Optimus Prime like Tausch.
That definitely affects things. I mean, you're talking about two of our starters, guys that have played really good football for us. So I think when Evan went out, I mean, that set off a chain reaction in the back end. Jaws didn't happen till right at the end of the game. And but it's the mentality of next man up. So we feel confident in that room. We've got a lot of players in that room that have played good ball for us, and they're going to have to go out there and do it against arguably the best team in the NFL.
Tausch, now that you're back, what do you think about where they're at in the secondary and how that the loss of Evan Williams impacted them on last Sunday against the Jags?
I think it was one of the more underreported parts of the game on Sunday. I looked at it and I was just so impressed with that first half of what Green Bay did to Jacksonville. And then it was kind of like, well, what happened?
Boa constricted
them. You factor in, I didn't realize Evan Williams, you almost were like, yeah, because unless you're there and you're really dialed in, you don't know. And the TV didn't really do a great job of saying, oh, Evan Williams isn't out there. He's such a big part of what we do. And it's crazy because all through training camp, it was, oh, I don't know, it's going to be him, Bullard, my guy, Anthony Johnson Jr. Oh, there's everybody's getting reps. Well, Evan Williams has elevated himself. He's a stud. He has gotten into that category where he is a difference maker. So I really think Jair, you'd obviously love to have him. And it would be, you know, especially with some of the issues that Stokes has had, you're going to have a huge challenge this week, and they do it in multiple ways. You want to be at full strength, coming downhill, trying to figure out how to make these to slow down Detroit. But don't make no mistake about it. I think going into the game, you're always figuring out what the flow of the game is going to be. I'd be shocked if Matt LaFleur doesn't tell his offense, and you do this on Wednesdays or Thursdays, you'll get up in front of your group and say, you need to elevate because this is a really good group. And I think defensively, I know Tennessee didn't have a big day. Obviously, scored 14 points. But they did some things. And they were able to move the football. Mm-hmm. Green Bay's going into this game thinking, we're going to score a lot of points. Even with the belief we have in our defense, I would bet Matt LaFleur is going to be very disappointed if he doesn't go 30-plus this week with his offense. This defense without Hutchinson, and if they don't pick somebody up, this is a defense you can move the football against. And look around. Seattle threw 30 up on them. Teams have put points up on this defense. It's can you slow them down so you can stay in your game plan and not get caught in a game where you're constantly firing from behind? That's what the Detroit Lions have done to a lot of teams this season.
If the Packers don't have Evan Williams, will that influence how you pick some of your prize picks if you choose to do some of the Lions players for this matchup?
All this stuff matters. Jordan playing with the receivers. You know, Josh Jacobs, if it's going to be with old boy quarterbacking, he gets a lot more touches. So prize picks, it's America's favorite daily fantasy sports. Over 10 million members. Billions of dollars in awarded winnings. PrizePicks has made daily fantasy sports accessible. Everybody pick more or less. It's simple. More or less. I like going three players. You can go four. If you go four, you get 100x on your cash. PrizePicks puts their members first. All withdrawals are fast. They're safe and secure. And when your picks hit, you get your money back in as quick as 15 minutes. Download the app today. Use code WI and get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. It's code WI. On Prize Picks to get $50 instantly for after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. Run.
Your
game. I thought I was trying to get you to say run. You didn't want to. You froze up.
Yeah, I thought you froze, and then I was going to do run your game. All right.
That would have been fun.
Tausch is live from his Zimbrick Chevy Tahoe.
Brand new Green Bay. Tahoe. It's beautiful.
It's breathtaking. And I love the angle as you're fighting for your life.
I say backseat for the 11 o'clock hour. I say go backseat for the final stretch.
I say stay wherever is going to allow us to hear you and you don't sound like Bumblebee. All right, so the 11 o'clock hour will start with power rankings.
It's better
Tuesday.
Than sounding like a hornet. It's better than sounding like a hornet, right?
Sure.
There was a whole deal with hornets earlier. You may have missed it.
I did. I missed that. I'm sorry. I was in transit from the hospital.
All right. It's what everybody's buzzing about right now.
Hey, that was well done.
That's good, Jesse.
The 11 o'clock
That's
hour.
Pretty good.
Buzz starts in 2 minutes, so stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin on Demand.